I want to ask you to turn with me, please, in your scriptures to the second book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. I'm going to read verses 17 and verse number 18. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and verse 18, share a message surrounding a question. Are you a voice or are you an echo? We'll say more about that in a little while. Are you a voice or an echo? 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Wherefore come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You know, in the New Testament, we've just studied a few weeks ago in Sunday school. If you didn't get here and get that, shame on you. You ought to have been here. We studied about John the Baptist, him being a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ye the paths of the Lord straight. If you go all the way back to the actual beginning of the nation of Israel, go back to Abraham, and God has always had a voice calling us. If you remember, if you know your Old Testament history, you'll know that God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, around the Babylonian area. He called Abraham out from a land and a life that he had been living in. Now, you got to understand your Old Testament history. I'm not going to give you a lesson, just a couple of thoughts about it. He was living in a land called Ur of the Chaldees. They were idol worshipers. They were moon worshipers, a land of gross sin and wickedness and idolatry. And God called Abraham to leave his land and to leave that kind of life that was going on there and go to a new land and enter a new life. He was called out to be different so that he could serve the Lord in a manner pleasing to God Almighty. Well, that call has come right on down from Abraham to others throughout the Bible and down to John the Baptist. And that same call comes from God to us today to come out from the world, the lifestyle of the world, come out from this world's lifestyle and be a different people so that we can show the world how true worship and service to our Lord really is. If you remember, if you don't, let me just share with you. God's intention for Israel was this. God was to bless them and make them a blessing to all the nations in the world so that they could share the Savior in time to come, the Lord Jesus, but share God in these Old Testament days, share with the world's nations how God is real, how God can be served and worshiped. If you'll listen, I want to share with you just a verse that Isaiah had said back in the Old Testament. If you want to look it up, you can. Isaiah chapter 49. Listen to verse 6. Isaiah 49, 6. Here's what God said. And he said, "It is a light thing, is it? It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." So God intended for Israel to be a blessing to all the nations and show them the salvation of the Lord. Is that call of God any different to the church today? Didn't Jesus say to us, after he had said about himself, he said, "I'm the light of the world"? Then after he goes back to heaven, he leaves a message to us. He said, "You're the light of the world." So it's no different. As Israel was called to be a light to the nations, we're called to be a light to the nations just as well. So Jesus said, "Serve me, share me, be a voice to the nations." Now, the Jews were faithful to that call for at least two generations in the land of promise. But when the third generation came and Joshua passed away, the third generation of the Jews turned to living and acting like and being a part of the nations or the society around them. And they departed God's love, they departed God's law, and they just lived ungodly lives. Well, come down to the New Testament where we've just read the scriptures this morning. The same thing that Israel had done, the church at Corinth had done. They had left the Lord's love and the Lord's light and the Lord's law. They had turned to society around them, and there were some very wicked things going on in the church at Corinth. So they had departed God, so they needed, like Israel, to have a fresh call of the Lord to come back and return to the Lord their God and return to the service of the Lord. You see, they made the same mistake that Israel had made. And if you come down to the point in time where you and I are living today, I'm afraid the church today in many places has made the same mistake that Israel had made and the same mistake that Corinth's church had made. Churches today are turning to the society around us, living like, acting like, worshiping like, dressing like, doing like, all the things around us that are going on. So the church today needs a fresh call from the Lord. And Paul had that call from God to give to the Corinthian church. And that same call he gave to the Corinthian church is the identical same call that we need to hear today. Now, what is it? We need to hear the call, first of all, know what it is. And after we hear it, we need to heed the call that God gave to Israel, and they failed. He gave it to Corinth, and they failed. He's going to give it to us afresh and anew today. And I ask the question, are we going to fail? Are we going to hear God's call? Are we going to heed God's call? Or are we going to turn a deaf ear to the truth of God's Word and turn a stubborn will against God's will and a hard heart and just throw aside the truth of God's Word? Only, beloved, listen, only time will tell. So what was the message that God gave to Paul to give to the Corinthian church? What is the same message He gave to them that He gives to us today? It comes in the form, I see here, three distinct calls. Let me share those with you. First of all, He calls the church at Corinth. God calls us today to come out. Did you see what He said? Wherefore, in verse 17, wherefore come out from among them. Here, Paul was quoting, if you go back to Isaiah again, in Isaiah chapter 52, let me share what he was saying. He was referring to a verse that Isaiah had told the Israelites in chapter 52 of Isaiah. If you look over there in Isaiah 52, verse 11, you'll see what he was saying to them. He was saying in 52:11, Isaiah, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Paul was referring back to Isaiah when Isaiah had said, come out of Babylon. Come back to the promised land. Come back to the Lord. Come back to the lifestyle. Come back to true worship of the Lord. That's what he was saying to the Israelites. Now, Paul almost quotes it and says to the Corinthian church, come out from among the world. And the same call comes to us through the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, to return to our Lord. Not just a land, but return to a lifestyle that pleases the Lord once again, and return to worshiping Him as it would please Him and honor Him and magnify Him. Let me ask a question. Thinking about Israel, what advantage was it to Israel to serve and look like and act like the nations around them? What benefit, advantage was it to them? Zero. Same question to us. What advantage is it to the church today or to the individual Christian today? What advantage is it to any of us or all of us to live like and act like the world or the society around us? There's no advantage to it. None whatsoever. Because you see, God's always hated idolatry. And God's always severely punished idolatry. And beloved, our nation right now is just neck deep in idolatry of all sorts. And God's going to severely punish our nation for it today. God's always done that. Now, why is that? Because God doesn't change. The way God looked at sin in Isaiah's day and in Paul's day, the same way God looks at sin today. God never changes. His judgments, His statutes are always true. They're always right, and they're always righteous, are they not? So, when you live for God and you worship Him and serve Him, you're assured of some things. Israel knew this, and we know this. If you serve the Lord and worship Him and live like He wants you to live, you're assured of two things. You're assured of the very presence of God with you, and you're assured of the power of God also with you. They knew that, and we know that. Now just stop and think a moment. It's a glorious privilege that God gives us as children of God to partake of the divine nature of Jesus Christ. If you just had to stop and go home right there and think on that, you'd have to shout that God allows us a privilege to take on the divine nature of Jesus Christ. And then too, on top of that, giving us the blessed privilege of calling God our Heavenly Father. He treats us like His sons and His daughters. What great compassionate care God gives to all His children. No wonder He says, come out from among them. Who wouldn't want to come out from among the world's people and the world's actions and come to a loving Lord and live for Him and serve Him? It was how Israel responded that told the story. It's how we're going to respond. Whether we're going to be that voice to the nations or just an echo of the world's own society. I ask us, God calls us to come out. Are you a voice to the nations? Or are you just an echo of what's going on around you? Well, there's a second part of this call. He didn't just say, come out from among the world. But He says also, stand out. He says, be ye separate, saith the Lord. This was not Paul's opinion. This was not Paul's idea, although he totally agreed. This is what God said. He said, come out. And then He said, stand out. When you begin to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ, and serve Him, and live for Him, and worship Him, and talk about Him, then's when the difference shows up. It really begins to show up. Here's what happens more times than not. We become what I call blenders. We blend into the society around us. And we begin to look like a church that looks more like the world than it does a church. Individuals begin to look more like worldlings than they do Christians to begin with. This is exactly what God's called us out and told us not to do. Come out, and He said, stand out. Be different than all the world around you. So really, ask yourself the question, how important is it really? I mean, preacher, how important is it really that God calls me to come out and stand out? You want me to tell you how important it is? Listen, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Jesus went to heaven. He told the church, told you and told I, that we're the light of the world. When you start imitating the world and not the Lord Jesus, here's what happens. Here's how important that it really is. Your light, as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, we're like a city set on a hill, a light that's not put under a bushel. When you start imitating the world and living like the world, your light gets hidden under that bushel. And the influence that we should have, the voice that we should have to the world is quietened. And all then you hear is an echo of what's going on in the world. Come out, He says. Stand out. Be to the world what Jesus said we're to be. A light. A voice. Not an echo. Well, God's method of reaching the lost world, has always been incarnation, not imitation. Now, did you hear me? Let me say that again so you'll get it. God's way of reaching lost people always has been through incarnation and not imitation. Paul said, Christ lives in me. Now, that's incarnation. God incarnated in the flesh, and then the Spirit came into Paul's life to live. The Holy Spirit of God comes into your life and mine at our point of salvation. He is in us to help us, learn to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. God sent, the Father sent Jesus, a Son, into this world to do two or three things. Number one, to be seen. He sent Jesus into the world to be heard. And He sent Jesus into the world to eventually be crucified. And Paul said, Christ lives in me. We're to be separate from the world, to come out from the world, to stand out from the world, and be a different people, to make a difference where you live. I may not be able to make a difference in Canada or England or Africa or somewhere, but I'm to make a difference right where I live. Whatever sphere of influence God gives you, wherever you live, wherever you move, wherever you travel, God says you be that influence, that voice for me in your own particular place where you live. We just studied this morning in Sunday school where Jesus told the disciples, the early disciples, Simon and Andrew, James and John, He said, follow me and I'll make you to be fishers of men. The difference that Jesus Christ lived on this earth is what attracted people to Him. Listen to me. The more we imitate and live closer to the Lord, the more attracted the world's going to be to us. Now, if nothing more than saying, well, what makes those folks different? What is the difference in their lives over the lives of somebody else out here in the world? Let me interject something here. This is a personal thing with me. So many churches today are setting up worship styles that are trying to attract the world by the music that they use, by the preaching that they do, by the way they dress, the way they talk, the way they live. They say if we can just, you know, attract them like that, we'll get them. No, 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 no. These folks are going to be sadly disappointed. That will never attract the world to be like the world. The same thing's true with a building. A lot of churches build fabulous structures, and I'm not against those things. But if you build that fabulous structure just to attract the lost people to come into your church, you're going to be disappointed. Architectural engineering and building has never attracted people. Doesn't do it then, doesn't do it now, won't do it in the future. So acting like, worshiping like, singing like, being like the world is not going to attract people to Jesus Christ. Oh, you may get a gathering of people, but you're going to have a big gathering of renegades that you can't do anything with them. They won't live right and won't do right. So, He says, come out from among the world and be ye separate, says the Lord. Now listen, He didn't say come out from the world and be odd or be weird. Jesus wasn't odd, nor was He weird. But oh, how different from the world that He was. We've got to be church different than the lost world. To ever attract the world, we've got to be like Jesus. More and more and more like Him. So the question is this, what do they see in you? What do they see in me? Do they see us as an imitation of Jesus, trying to be like Him? An imitator or an innovator? How do they see you? You judge that for yourself. Do they see you as a voice for the Lord? Or do they see you just as an echo of what's going on out there in the world? Do they see our church as distinctly different from the world? Or do they see us as an echo, not a voice? Paul says to Corinth, God says to us, come out. And then He says, stand out, be different than the world. But there's a third part to this call. He says, reach out. Do you know why, as a church, or as a Christian individual, do you know why we can reach out to other people? It's because we are in the world, but listen, not of the world. There's the difference. There's the way you reach out to others. That's why. Back in the Old Testament, as it closes out in the book of Zechariah, he talked about Israel and some of those members of Israel's family, too. He said, jerk them, pull them out of the fire as a burning brand, because they're in a very danger of being lost. Well, beloved, listen, the whole world today is in danger of the fire of hell. If the world's peoples are not rescued, pulled out, and brought to Jesus, they're going to die and spend eternity separated from God. That's important for us to hear that as a church, afresh and anew today. Well, there was a time in the Old Testament, if you've read your Old Testament, you should know this. If not, I'll kind of refresh your memory. People would travel miles and miles, great distances, to see the very works of God. You remember the Queen of Sheba? Traveled a long distance from Africa to Jerusalem to see Solomon and all the wonderful things God had done and was doing through him in the nation. There was a time when those things happened. At that time, if Israel had been like the nations, then those great things wouldn't have happened. Today, if we act like the nations and live like the nations, they're not going to anybody want to come to church and see what the difference is. There won't be any difference between the church and the outside. I heard old Vance Havner one time years ago say the church has got so abnormal, if it ever got normal, it would seem abnormal. Think on that a while. He said, reach out. Stand out. Come out. Well, in Jesus' great Sermon on the Mount, if you've never read it, you ought to read it. Read it carefully. In all those three chapters of Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus describes His people. He describes His kingdom. He describes His church as being, now listen to me, countercultural. The church today is supposed to be countercultural, different, if you will, from the world. Well, why? Because you and I, as Christians, we are ambassadors for Christ. That means we're His representative in this world. The uniform of a Christian ought to be godliness, God-likeness, and Christ-likeness. We represent Him. Do we represent Him as a voice to the lost world? Or are we representing Him as nothing more than just an echo of what's going on? Listen, the lost people can find out there in the world all they need. They don't need to come into church and find it in the church. Amen. We ought to be different, folks. Reach out to lost people. We must examine, beloved, listen, our own lives. I can't examine you. You can't examine me. I've got to examine me. You've got to examine you. And our church has to examine our church and not some other church. Do we blend in with the world and just become an echo of what the world's got going on today? Or are we really, truly different? And are we really a voice for the Lord in these last days? Do we even have an impact on the world anymore? Have you ever heard people say, well, the church is just old and outdated? It's not relevant for today. It's the most relevant thing in this world today is the local church and God's people. There's a verse or two I want you to hear again. I want you to listen carefully. I'm going to read it. A verse or two that we need to really hear again with understanding afresh and anew. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look at verse 24 and verse 25. In 1 Corinthians 14, 24 and 25, we need to hear these verses a brand new with a new understanding as a church or as an individual. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 24. He's talking about, well, just back up and get verse 23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you're mad? But here's what I want you to hear. But if all prophesy, what's he talking about? Prophesying, magnifying the Lord, preaching the word, living the word, serving God. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. In so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. That's why we're called out. So that if someone comes into our fellowship, or someone crosses your path of life, they're going to see that God is in you, and that God is with you, and that you're different than the world. That's why God calls us out. That's why He's called us out to stand out, to be different than the world, that we can attract the world to the Lord Jesus, not to us. We don't need to attract anybody to us. That's the wrong reason. But to attract them to the Lord Jesus and then reach out to them. That's why God calls us out, to stand out, to reach out, to be a clear voice for the Lord. He said, if you prophesy, If you magnify, lift up the Lord, serve Him, live for Him, they're going to look at your lifestyle. They're going to say there's something different about them. There's something going on in their lives that I don't understand, but I want to know about it. I want to know what makes them different. Does anybody ever wonder what makes you different? Are we that different? Which are you? You have to answer for yourself. Are you a voice for the Lord? Or are you an echo of the world? Think about that. Let that sink in. Maybe today you've come and God's spoken to your heart. You've not been the voice for the Lord that you should have been. Maybe you haven't magnified Him where you can. I know some places won't let you talk about the Lord. I understand that. But most places today you still can. Have you made an effort? Have you made a difference to be a voice for the Lord? Maybe you say, well, preacher, I've not done that. But I need to do that. I know I do. God's shown me today I need to do that. Well, listen, you need to come today and get on this altar right here and repent and tell the Lord, God, I'm sorry I've not been a voice for you like I should have. I want to ask you to forgive me. And I want to be a voice wherever I go. And whatever I do, it'll point people to Jesus Christ. Lord, I want to stand out. I want to come out and stand out for you. And I want to reach out to somebody else. The message today is to reach out to us. Has God spoken to your heart about a need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Maybe you've never come to that point in your life that you've seen the need of Jesus Christ on the throne of your life, as Tanya was singing earlier. But you want to make Him that. Come today. Come give your heart and life to Him today to leave this place of worship, to be a voice for our precious Lord Jesus. John the Baptist thought enough about Jesus that he gave his life to be a voice for the Lord. They said, John, you're the Christ, aren't you? John said, oh no, oh no. I am not the Christ. I'm just a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Listen, there's a wilderness of people out there today who need to hear the voice of God. And maybe they're not going to hear it unless they hear it from you. Or maybe possibly hear it through the influence of our church. Are you a voice or an echo? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, today, we must all, Lord, confess that none of us has been the voice that we could have been, even that we should have been. We must all repent and ask you to forgive us and cleanse us. Give us new fire. Give us new power. In these last days, we might be the true voice for you that needs to be. Help us, Lord, to want to come out from the world. Jesus befriended sinners, but Lord Jesus, you never lived their lifestyle. You never partook in their sins. We've got to be friends to sinners without taking part in their lifestyle. We can come out and we can be standing out and be reaching out and still be pleasing to you. If there's someone here today who needs to, in their own life, have that adjustment made, whatever it may be, may they come today as we sing, as we stand and sing the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.